It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime!
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, we're the Defective Character. Three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And James here. The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience while talking about reading and recovery in this episode 238 of the Defective Characters podcast. Let's go.
Woohoo!
All right. Pretty nice. Pretty nice job coming up with the topic, James.
I thought long and hard for it, and here it is. It's books in recovery.
Wow. Oh, look at that. Everybody fell asleep. That's cool. Oh,
it's literature in recovery.
I'm hoping for a worse topic next week from you, Dennis. I know you have it in you.
We're going to do marijuana in recovery.
But what did you say? Not books, not literature, but...
Reading
in recovery, R&R.
Rawr.
Great alliteration.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. Well, let's talk about the last 7 days, James. How was everything?
I just got back 2 days ago from Omaha, Nebraska. I was there for my grandma Joyce's funeral. We called it a celebration of life, and it was nice. There was lots of children there. All the cousins' children were there. So they were, they all wanted shoulder rides. We went to the zoo. So I was pretty tired after that. And it was pretty good. I got to visit with a lot of cousins that I had not visited with in a long time. We went swimming. Someone had a hotel with a pool. So that was fun. I came home and I was... I think it was allergies now because my nose was just running like a faucet. So I was supposed to work Monday. I didn't work. But the next day I felt better. So I think that's why it was allergies. And I even spoke at my grandma's funeral. And I think all the years in speaking at meetings in AA meetings prepared me for it because I felt very calm and comfortable speaking in front of a large group of people. But I was just talking about my grandma, so it was cool. It's like we speak about what we know in meetings, and I was speaking about the love I had for my grandma, and it was just natural, and it was fun. And I ate a lot of food. I got to get back to the gym because I have been eating like crazy, and I haven't been back yet, but it's good to be home. I'm now watching this miniseries on the Cold War. It's on Netflix. It's really good. It's called Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War. Strongly recommend it. How about you, Dennis?
I don't have Netflix anymore.
Oh, poor little son. I don't know why.
Because I was using James's and they do the... Oh, no, I was using my sister's who lives in Lakeland and they did the crackdown on the passwords.
So I don't... What do your parents watch?
I think they were using my sister's as well for Netflix, but all they right, also so you have Hulu and Disney and Amazon, you know.
You got to talk them into getting Netflix and then you'll be in the clear.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, but they already do enough for me. I don't feel like asking them for another luxury.
No, don't I've ask got, them for you.
I've got Disney them. Plus and Hulu and HBO.
So it's going to take some research, but here's how you do it. And I know you have it in you. You have to research shows that you think that they'll like and be like, hey, do you want to watch a show and show them a trailer of it on YouTube and then be like, oh, but we can't because we don't have Netflix.
Oh, my God. That's so manipulative. That's horrible.
It's not manipulation if it works.
Yes, it is. That's not the definition of manipulation. If you fail,
right.
It's manipulation.
Listen here, Brainiac. I'm trying to get you Netflix.
I'm good.
I like my idea. When we were on the jog with T-Bird, I was like, well, don't you have your mom's card? Just use your mom's card. She'll never know.
That's good. No. You have to choose between stealing or manipulating.
My God, why are the... Or I can just be grateful for what I do have and not focus on what I don't have.
I don't think these are principles of AA, but they could be life principles, okay? This could be... These could be things that you actually just try out. Honestly, think it's like boning up on your sales technique to actually sell your parents on buying Netflix. You could be a salesman for Netflix and you didn't even know it.
I don't want to be a salesman for Netflix, though.
Alrighty.
I've been watching, rewatching The Last Man on Earth. Have you ever seen that show?
Yeah, I rewatched it 2 years ago. I loved it. Real good.
It's so good. It still holds up, and it's weird because, you know, they kind of predicted a virus happening around the same time period that happens in the show, and luckily ours wasn't as devastating as it was in the show, but it's kind of eerie. We were watching it after like the pandemic. It's crazy. But yeah, this week I don't know, I didn't do much. I basically focused on the Minecraft stuff, the YouTube stuff. And I think that's going pretty well. I passed 1,000 subscribers, which is kind of crazy. Ooh. Yeah. When it happened, I was like, I thought I would feel more. And I was just kind of like, okay, that's cool.
About time.
Yeah. It wasn't that's even about time. It was like, okay, that number kind of doesn't matter.
I think that, well, it's like that in life, too. As I found different mile markers of success or goals or things I wanted to achieve, then when I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, this is like, what's next, which is why I think it is good to have goals that you might never reach. So that way you don't have that empty feeling. You know, I think I can very easily fall into a trap. If I don't always have something in the future to strive for, and yet at the same time stay in the day of like, hey, I did the best that I could, and have that be the goal each day.
Yeah, and I have like goals. Like, to me, like, the number of subscribers doesn't really matter. It's more important of like the watch time, like how long people are watching and how many hours I'm racking up on that. That's more important. So like, that's slowly going up. So the subscriber doesn't matter because it doesn't equate to like watch time, which watch time is what matters. So that's why I think it was kind of unfulfilling, but it's still cool. I'm grateful for it. I appreciate it. It is growth, and like, the channel is growing. So that's cool. But then I also have like another series, like another server that I'm going to play on. That's a modded one that's coming up. Like early May, maybe, or late April. So that's exciting. That's something to look forward to. And then yesterday I started playing with someone else that I like play with. And we're coming up with like a new series that's like a game that we're creating within Minecraft. That's kind of like the life series, but you probably don't know what it is. So that's exciting. So I'm on like the ground floor of like designing that game. So that's pretty cool.
I was watching a couple Minecraft videos yesterday of people building computers in Minecraft. Building Minecraft in Minecraft.
Yeah.
I was blown.
Yeah, they build games like using that, you know, they build RAM and all of the processors and everything. But like, there's people that are building like Tetris, where you can like be in the game and sit there and watch a screen and sit there and control the pieces and play Tetris and like other games and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's pretty cool. But technology has moved far beyond that. Why do people waste their time with that?
Because it's just fun. A lot of times the people that are doing this are like computer programmers and stuff. So like, this is like their off time. So like in the real world, they're working on like crazy, like engineering type stuff. And then in fun, they're like, oh, I'm just going to build Tetris in Minecraft, like, because they have that skill set, you know?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. So that's good. So that was the week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sweet.
What about you?
I think it's interesting, James. So you talked about how the ability to public speak, and I mean, you've been in hospitality for a while, so like talking to a stranger is not a problem, but like in front of a crowd, I know even for me, it got a lot easier, a lot of the nerves, even though I've been doing, you know, a public job for the past 20 years, and it's been, I would have so many nerves about it. And I know that speaking in front of, you know, whatever, a group of 20 or sometimes more people in a meeting, that has helped me like a lot, where I feel at ease. I don't stress out about it. And an initial thing that I don't know if you've found is reading out loud. If I would go to a lot of big book meetings, and you'd go around the room and read, you know, a page or a paragraph or whatever. And while you're reading it out loud, my reading got so much better. And because I'm not a reader, and we'll find out. There are some books and some things that I've used the past 10 years that I got a lot from, especially early in sobriety. That the only reason I got a lot out of it early in sobriety is because that's when I would do it and focus on each and every day, because I had to completely rewire my brain. Is there anything else in the rooms that you guys feel like helped you outside of the rooms with, as far as like one of those type things? Obviously to live life on life's terms and everything, but like something that happens in a meeting.
Yeah. Finding solutions to problems instead of complaining about them. That's a big one. You know,
yeah.
You sit here and complain and just point out people's mistakes so you can find solutions to problems. And usually the solutions buried inside of us, how we respond to it. So I've learned that completely through the rooms, you know?
Yeah. The last week for me, so I had a couple of therapy sessions with Becky, my fiance, learning how to communicate better. Cause there was a lot of it where there was stuff that she was, I guess, wary when it was to the kids, or like, she's more of an introvert. So I like to go, go, go. And she's, you know, quite a few down gears from me, you know, like her, if I'm 10, like I need to be doing something all the time. She's totally fine sitting at about a 3 or 4 and, you know, working, then coming to relaxing and not wanting to do anything. Meanwhile, I'm like, okay, well, what are the plans with the kids? We got to do this in the morning, this in the midday, this in the afternoon, on the weekends. So there's a lot that we're trying to talk about. And I've learned a different way to communicate that I'm still learning, called rough, which is basically someone says something that they are, I guess, an issue that they have, whether it's with the other person or just going on in their life. And then the other person goes, okay, here's what I'm hearing, you know, which I guess is a little stereotypical, like therapy, like, okay, here's what I'm hearing from what you said. You said this, 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 and this. And then the person who originally said it will either say, yeah, that is it. That is how I feel. Or they'll say, no, you heard it wrong. Because a lot of times fights or even just discussions, they end up in a bad place because how someone said something is not how the other person heard it. So I'll say it's an interesting thing. It's also a frustrating thing, because then you're learning more about somebody else that you thought you were on the same page with a lot of things. And I am glad that I have also the perspective of AA and knowing like how to sit in the pocket and pause before reacting, you know, because those things could go out of control real quick if I didn't have some of those. So We're going through some of that, which is really good. I mean, it sounds bad, but I, you know, one day at a time, it's good to get more focused with it. You know, 3.5 years in, I feel like a couple can be together. Do you ever, you guys ever go out to a restaurant and you see a couple that looks like they've been together for 40 years and they don't say a damn thing to each other at the table because they've already said every single word that they've said to each other? And they're just like, yeah, we're just kind of here. You know, I'm not eating dinner alone because somebody else is with me. And I guess I never would want that. I never would want to just, you know, you have guys in our group that have been friends for 20, 30 years. And we've said everything to each other and still are connected, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what's going on. James, you came up with the topic, so I'll let you kick it off.
Oh, good, good, good. So I thought of this one because this has helped me so much in my recovery. And it started with my sponsor. I got my sponsor early in recovery. I think I was 3 months sober. And for the first year, he just had me reading the big book. And the topic, just to remind everyone, is reading in recovery, a little bit of R&R. And he, my sponsor, Brian, he had me from day one reading Upon Awakening. And then, you know, what we do when we go to sleep at night, what we do in the morning is we pray, we ask God to help us throughout the day. And if we're agitated, you know, ask God for help, sit back and take it easy. And he taught me how to read the big book. And that's what I did. I started by reading that, just little bits. You know, I'm not a big reader. But the more I became, the more days I have in recovery, I just became like, okay, after about a year, I was like, okay, what's next? You know? And he had a list of books for me. But before that, in early recovery, T-Bird, my wife and I, we would get together at night and we would read different stories out of the back of the big book. And we always loved reading them because we had both had spiritual experiences in early recovery that brought about a shift in the way we thought. And, you know, we knew unconditionally that there was a God that loved us, and we could see the goodness in the world and how that we had been brought through this hell to escape into a life of paradise through recovery and being good to people. So we would read the stories, and we loved reading the parts about what happened to people, you know, that shift in their thinking when they found God. And so I recommend everyone to read those stories and just be inspired and influenced. Another good book that I was not one of my sponsor's recommendations was, it was the Living Sober book. I think that's always good for people in early recovery. Like, well, how do I do things if I'm sober? And it has a lot of little stories about people just coming to terms with their new life of sobriety. Another important book is just more like a pamphlet, is The Golden Key. And this one is, I can sum up the book in a couple sentences. Like, whenever you're feeling any kind of discomfort, disease, or uncertainty about any situation, just look up and go to God. That's about the gist of it. But if you do that, and you practice that daily, you'll have some comfort. One of the big books he gave me was, the first one he gave me was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And this book was radically shifted the way I thought. You know, it talked about meditation, like life is happening right now. And it's important to be in the present moment. It talked about the pain body. We all have pain bodies and the ego. So when someone's like, you know, coming at you, he's hurting your pain body and your ego is getting all boistered up. It's important to let that stuff go. After I read that, I was like, okay, what next? He told me about A New Earth, also by Eckhart Tolle. I'm not going to go into details about each one of these books. This is more like this book changed my life. Get it, read it, and you'll thank me later. And I've read A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle about 4 times. And by reading, obviously, I mean listening to it on Audible, because I'm driving more than I'm sitting around, which is not the best thing, but it works for me. The New Earth is great. If you guys haven't read that one, let me see. 12 Steps in Traditions is a great book. One of the ones that my mom told, my wife told me about was The Four Agreements. I think I've talked about that many times on here. And The Four Agreements in a nutshell is don't assume anything. Don't take things personally. Always do the best you can and be integral with your word. And then another agreement came out, The Fifth Agreement. And they wrote a whole book just for one agreement. But that is, the fifth agreement is be skeptical, but ask questions. And I think that's Dennis in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Funny, yep. When you were talking, James, about the pain body, yeah. Immediately I thought of Dennis, but that's different because he's just the pain in the ass.
Oh! Yeah. Some people like a little pain in their... Oh, sorry. Okay. My bad.
Okay. Transition!
Wrong podcast. Sorry.
Brian also had me reading something called The Celestine Prophecy. I don't know if you guys have heard that one, but that was actually
back in like 2000.
Yeah, that's fiction. And The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, also good.
Yep.
I
actually did. I did read that. I don't know if he told me to read it, or maybe my first sponsor did. I totally forgot about that.
I've read Drop the Rock, Removing Character Defects, Steps 6 and 7.
Drop the Rock. That was Dwayne The Rock Johnson's biography. Is that what it was?
Uh-huh.
About removing character defects. So I've been trying to remove this podcast for 6 years now.
I love it.
Also, Joe and Charlie, A Big Book Study. And this one, I used to, T-Bird and I would listen to this on the way down to Miami, like religiously. So it would just go through the whole big book, and it was with Joe and Charlie, and I've gotten so much out of this. So these are all books that I have read. The Gifts of Imperfection, I read that one, really good. That's by Brené Brown. The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and The Surrender Experiment, also by Michael Singer. Very good. Two other books, Change Your Mind and Your Life Will Follow by Karen Casey, and The Book of Joy by His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, and Desmond Tutu. Very good book.
Wow. You just Google these, or you write these down?
No, they're all on my...
bookshelf.
No, they're on my Audible.
Oh.
So I've read / listened to all these books, and that's not even all of them. That's like half of them. And so if you're interested in any of those, I recommend them all. And how many books have you read, Dennis?
Yeah. Hey, Dennis. Well, Dennis, what's that book on your bookshelf there? Oh, wait, that's just dust.
No, there is books and dust. Well, and this is very odd to say, because like, I'm going to say I'm not as well read as James is, which is weird because I have a ton of books in my room right now and I've read a ton of books. But when it comes to recovery, I've only read a few of them, right? So James in this category is way more well read than I am. For me, it's like always been the big book, right? Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have read the NA book as well, but I'm in AA, so AA is the one that I read a lot. And I think it's important to read, you know, that's how, if you want to understand and relate and understand what all of this is about in the 12 steps, you read that. Then outside of that, it's just the 12 and 12, which is a good supplemental to the big book. It kind of goes in deeper into our principles and our steps and stuff. So I definitely suggest, like, after you've read the big book for a while, definitely dive into the 12 and 12. Outside of that, I think the only other like AA approved literature that I have is like Daily Reflections. And I've never done it where like every day I read the day of it and go through it for like years. I've never done that, but I used to just like pick it up and turn to a random page and then reflect on what it said. But yeah, I think like, to me, recovery is a learning process. And so you should take the time to read books and learn things. And then also like hearing people's stories, like when you have a chance to go to a speaker meeting or anything like that in early recovery, like do it. And, you know, it's like listening to an audio book, but just live, you know, technology these days. But I think it's definitely, don't just come into recovery and think that you can go to a meeting once a week or once a month and like stay sober. I think if you actually have to learn how to stay sober, so you have to read the books, you have to like do the work, do the writing as well, and actually look at it as learning to live a new way, and then you succeed, you know. But that's all I got. What do you got, Mike?
Early in sobriety, like I mentioned, the amount of reading that I did was a lot. The first, you know, suggestion, once I went to my first meeting, they said, you know, hey, maybe think about going to another meeting. And then in that second meeting is where I met my sponsor, and Way of the Peaceful Warrior was one of those books. That's crazy. It was like 10 years ago. It's been a very long time since getting into outside literature, like not AA approved, which I recommend to do both, but definitely in early sobriety, definitely hammer on the ones that are approved, only because the amount of people within the program that you're trying to change your life with, they used those and then they found the other ones. And that's how they did it. If not, they would find a different program, and that's totally fine. But if you're looking to follow the program, kind of branch out, like go at the roots of what it is, the big book. Then you have the 12 and 12, which dives into it a little bit deeper. And then the how to live life outside of the steps, which would be utilizing Living Sober book, really works for me. And to get your mind right to start the day, the Daily Reflections book is something that I would read the little blurb and take it and make it a part of my life. And something else that I was probably 3 years sober, I started paying attention to how to make sure I am always tapped in to the program, and there's not a moment that I couldn't. And I started listening to podcasts, and a fellow podcaster that I was listening to out of Michigan, he talked about Transitions Daily and how there's, you just send an email to Transitions Daily and they will send you back a email every single day with thoughts of the day. And those thoughts of the day, they're little blurbs. There's an acronym, like today's acronym is DEAD. Any idea what the acronym DEAD means in the email?
No.
It relates to AA. Dennis, DEAD, what does it mean?
Dennis entertains absolute dummies.
Okay. Well, I mean, you spelt it right, so that's cool.
Drinking ends all dreams.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
So, honestly, I think T-Bird would love it because she loves a good acronym. Yeah. But every single day there's a new one. And then there's little blurbs based on coming straight out of the big book. Also from different things like As Bill Sees It, which are fun. It was written by Bill. So, you know, Bill and Dr. Bob collaborated on some things, but As Bill Sees It is a really fun little pocket-sized book that a lot of people use. And in early sobriety, I did, honestly, Friday was my first year in sobriety. That was As Bill Sees It meetings. So we would go through that book. And I loved it. I mean, it got me to where I am today. You know, I firmly believe that. I don't think that there are any happy accidents or coincidences. I think I had to hit every single one of those different meetings. And a lot of them were literature, as I was told to do or recommended, suggested. And I appreciate it. You know, so thanks for the reminder, James.
It's what I do.
Anything else you want to hit before we close up shop?
Minecraft books are probably good.
Yeah. That would be the outside, wouldn't you say, Dennis?
Yeah, sure. They could be fun. I've never read a Minecraft book, to be honest.
Oh.
But they have, like, novelizations and comic books and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're on the hook next week, Dennis. Come up with that topic. If you're going to do the marijuana, you know, figure it out.
I'll think of something brilliant. It'll blow your mind away.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be back next Thursday sharing our experience, strength, and hope with you with episode 239, where the defective character is entirely ready to have all these character defects. Remember, want to hide something from a newcomer? Put it in a big book. We'll see you next time.
So true.